Wait for it.
There's no need to wait, geeks. We are back. This is the Active Geek Podcast with your host, Jim and Chuck. And Chuck, this is an episode that when I woke up this morning and I knew that we were recording, I asked myself, self, what are we talking about today? Because I had totally forgotten. And then I reminded myself that we are talking about...
I did not forget.
Yeah, well, yeah, this has been on the docket for a while here. But then I reminded myself that we're talking about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, soft sequel, reboot, whatever you want to call it. And it immediately started my day on a bad note because we're going to spoil that movie. And if you haven't seen it, don't watch it and just listen to this review and you'll understand why you shouldn't see it. But before we get into that, Chuck, I'd like to talk about a trailer that came out. Now, we've missed a lot of trailers, and I'm talking like Doctor Strange we've missed, which, fun fact about the Doctor Strange movie is I'm going to be in London when the movie comes out, so I don't know when I'm going to be able to see it.
Go to London while you're in London and see it.
I don't know if it releases the same time in London versus the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a little worried about, like, you know, I get back on a Sunday, so I might just, like, go to a late showing and just phone it in at work. But that's neither here nor there. We will record that May 9th about Doctor Strange. Whether I've had to read an article about it or I've seen it, I'm going to talk about it. But there's a trailer that came out. And a lot of the trailers that we've missed, like Doctor Strange and Obi-Wan, I want to save those for when the series comes out, like right before that week, so we can break it down and kind of do a little preview of it. But this one came out, and I've really been like racking my brain over it, and I wanted to talk about it. It's Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
And it stars Iman Vellani as Kamala Khan. Pretty much a newcomer. We've broken it down. Go back to our Ms. Marvel casting discussion episode a while back. But I actually like this trailer a lot. It's kind of what I expected, right? It's got like that high school teeny vibe, right? But it gives me vibes of like Naomi and Stargirl if they had a real budget. Like the potential of what you could do with a teen show, teen superhero show. And a lot of our apprehensions going into this movie, or this series, I'm sorry, were based off of the leaked photos of the costume that we saw. And we're like, oh, why is she wearing a huffy bike helmet with a mohawk? Like, this looks awful. And then we come to find out because it's a cosplay outfit and she really wants to be a hero. And it's kind of like something that, like, if you and I were kids in high school, like, that would have been us. And I think that's cool, like that, like, oh, Kamala, you're wearing another Avengers t-shirt. Like, I feel like that's what my wife says every day I go out, get out of bed. Oh, it's another Star Wars shirt today? Why can't you wear a polo? You know, it's our anniversary. No, I want to wear my Greedo shirt. Like, that's how it works. But what did you think about this trailer?
I thought it was cool. You know what it kind of reminded me of, like, the effects they use, it kind of reminded me of like a live action
Into the Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I got those vibes too.
I know a lot of people are complaining about her powers. I'm not against it because I wasn't a big Ms. Marvel fan to begin with. But it looks cool, looks fun. You know, it looks like they're obviously going for a certain demographic. And yeah. I think they hit that mark. So I'm not mad at it. I want to see more of it. You know, I'm looking forward to the series and see how it all ties into the universe. But it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those shows that, like, it definitely connects the TV shows to the movies, right? This is WandaVision in terms of Kamala's going to be in the Marvels.
Yeah.
And that's a bit, like, this is a must-watch. So I'm actually really excited for this series. We're going to do an after show called Kicking It with Kamala. I'm really looking forward to this. I want to know if they bring in the Inhumans. I'd like to see Lockjaw. Doctor Strange now introducing the multiversal Illuminati could see the return or the debut of Black Bolt. So I'm very curious to see where this goes. And I know that there's a lot of people who are like, this series isn't a Marvel series. Like, get over it. You don't like Ms. Marvel because of who she is. Like, that's the reason why a lot of people are bitching about this show. I don't think it's a – they're using her powers as a scapegoat. But I think that this is actually going to be a great show, underrated Disney show. I'm not going to say like top three, but I think this could be like top five at the end when it's all said and done. I think this is going to have more impact on the MCU than a lot of people are giving it credit for. And I'm absolutely here for it because, again, like, you know my theory, the Punisher shows up and starts hunting Miss Marvel. And then, you know, that's where I'm going. Also, did you hear the rumor that Daredevil 4 is coming out? Season 4 is being worked on at Disney?
Yes.
I'm in love with it.
Yeah?
I'm absolutely in love with it. I'd be cool with Jessica Jones and Luke Cage coming and the Punisher. Let's completely reboot the Iron Fist, put him in Shang-Chi, but that's for another discussion. Let's go to my picks of the week. And before we go to my picks of the week, Chuck, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Did you see the announced comic coming out in October, Riddler Year One, written by Paul Dano?
No, I did not.
Yes. So,
because I know they're doing, like, Danny DeVito's writing a Penguin comic.
Yeah, I think it's already out.
And then I did not know Paul Dano. I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah, so it's going to be like Batman Damned, right? It's going to be like a big prestige book, black label, so it's going to be dark. And Paul Dano is going to write it. It comes out in October, so I'm very excited for that. And if you like the Batman as much as we did in our last two episodes ago, this book is for you. So that's my October pick of the week. Let's go to my week of March 22nd pick of the week. And let's start with one that, if you've been reading a DC comic book, you've seen at least seen the cover for this book, and it's called Rogues Number One. And it's a very misleading cover. Like, it's cool looking. It's just a guy with a gun, and it's kind of neopunk. But let's talk about what this is. This is another black label book. It's going to run you about $7. And it says, 10 years ago, the Rogues disbanded and went their separate ways. But time hasn't been kind to the former blue-collar super criminals. Caught in an endless cycle of prison, rehab, dead-end jobs, broken relationships, probation, and endless restitution fees, the Rogues are sick of paying for their crimes. Luckily, Captain Cold has a plan. One last job that will leave them all richer than their wildest dreams and free them from their past. If they can survive. This is the Rogues as you've never seen them before, reimagined by the incredible talents of master storytellers Leo Max from Basketful of Heads and Joshua Williamson from Batman, The Flash, and Inferior Frontier. Infinite Frontier. DC Black Label presents Rogues, a neo-noir heist that will make your blood run cold. Have you seen the cover for this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so it's kind of like green scale, teal colors, and it's just a guy with a gun pointed up, and it said Rogues. At first, like, I didn't even get Captain Cold vibes, but I'm here for it. A Captain Cold Rogues vibe, Rogues comic book? That's sick. You gonna pick that up?
Yeah, probably. I'm actually going to the comic book store this week because I can actually drive again.
There you go. You're off your DUI, which I'm proud of you, bud.
Yeah.
You've been doing really well. Let's go to another one from Image that I know you're not going to pick up, but it's called Ghost Cage. Not written by Nicolas Cage.
Is it about Johnny Cage?
No, it's written by Nick Dragota and Caleb Gulliner, and it is art from Nick Dragota. The highly anticipated follow-up project from critically acclaimed, lauded East of West artist Nick Dragota. This all-new, extra-length, limited series teams artist Dynamo Dragota with rising star writer Caleb Gulliner from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles' new animated adventures. When his new Megacorp power plant falls under attack by terrorists, the super scientist who revolutionized and controls all energy on Earth sends his ultimate creation and an adequate employee into destroy his most monstrous secrets. Could you imagine, like, think about your work for a second, right? And we don't have to go full details. Think of just an average employee at your job.
Okay.
Imagine that person being your only hope. 1 to 100% chance of success. Where are you at with that?
0.
I mean, I'm maybe at like a 12% with someone I work with.
No. So I'm picturing at least two, and I'm a Connor.
This, yeah, the more that I think about it, yeah, I am too. But this is a comic that sounds weird. The cover kind of looks like David Carradine's in it, so, and it's got like a yellow canary and like a one-eyed robot, and then you can obviously see the adequate employee. It's definitely different, so I'm definitely going to pick this up. I'll let you know how I feel about it. The next one is one that I think you might pick up, and it's called Wolverine Patch. And okay. it's written by Larry Hama with art from Andrea DeVito. And this is, it sounds like it's coming right out of the Falcon Winter Soldier. It says, return to Madripoor with the man called Patch. All new action, intrigue, and espionage awaits you as legendary creator Larry Hama returns with a story set before his original run on Wolverine. The mutant known as Logan has made a name for himself on the mysterious island of Madripoor, where the locals know him as Patch. From the haunts of the Princess Bar, what starts as a simple recon mission lands Patch and Archie knee-deep in a paramilitary struggle that will surface from surprise revelations and characters. And is that Nick Fury, director of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Yes. Two patches for the price of one. A must-have for long-standing readers and a welcome entry point for new readers of Wolverine. What do you think about that one?
I don't know. That's a maybe for me. Sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird one. And it's David Hasselhoff, Nick Fury.
Oh.
So it's like, it's pre-death of Nick Fury in the 80s and not the current Nick Fury. So it's a little different. I like the Madripoor vibes. I like that this is like Wolverine as like a James Bond villain. Like he's in a white suit with an eye patch on. So I'm like, I'll take it. Why not? And then finally, I think this is the last one. This is the last one. And it's a big one. It's called Venom, Lethal Protector.
Oh, you've been waiting for this.
I have. And it's written by David Michelinie with art from Ivan Ferrelli. And it says in big letters, an epic return. That's all it needs to be said. But there's more. It says, before Carnage and Space Gods, clones and toxins, and the revelation that he was a father, Eddie Brock was a down-on-his-luck reporter who had tried to take his own life and been saved by an extraterrestrial alien. This all-new story set in the character's earliest days welcomes Venom co-creator David Michelinie back into the symbiote hive and with open arms as he and rising star Ivan Fiorelli unite to tell a new, horrifying tale that not only revisits the wicked web slinger's past, but hints at what's to come in the future. Now listen, David Michelinie and Venom, like that's amazing. Like that's like if, you know, Frank Miller went back and started writing Batman, right? They know each other very well, these two characters. Although the Donny Cates Venom story that ran over 100 issues was amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that could be topped, but if it's going back into the past and this isn't a follow-up to that story, I'm here for it. And I think a lot of people don't remember that Eddie Brock was a really like down on his luck POS. And he tried to take his life and Venom found him. So I'm here for it. Are you going to pick up this new Venom book?
If I'm light, probably. It sounds really cool.
Which means you have like not, you probably have like $800 worth of comics in there.
I might. I mean, a lot of stuff ended and I ended a couple things. But I haven't been there in 5 weeks.
Yeah. So yeah, you have some catching up to do, my friend. All right. You ready to enter spoiler territory?
Yeah. I'm excited about this one.
I'm not, but we're going to review the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Came out 2022. It was on Netflix. It was written by, or it was, directed by David Blue Garcia. And, it's getting like a 4.8 out of 10 on IMDb, but this is the synopsis. After nearly 50 years of hiding, Leatherface returns to terrorize a group of idealistic young friends who accidentally disrupt his carefully shielded world in a remote Texas town. So that quote alone is enough to say, okay, this has potential. And then they tell you it's a soft sequel to the original. So, like, it's the original Leatherface. He's 7,000 years old. All the stuff that's happened with, like, Jessica Biel and Alexandra Daddario and Trey Songz, like, those movies are forgotten. Matthew McConaughey, forgotten. This is a follow-up. So this is going to be my spoiler-free review, and then I'm going to completely bash this movie. It's too short, it's too predictable, and it's very cliched. It's watchable, but nothing special, and the Jessica Biel reboot was far better than this one.
Yeah, if I have to give one, in a world of rebooting old classics, this one falls way short.
Yep, and I think that's the... A lot of people feel that way. But let's kind of just go right into spoiler territory. You're not a slasher guy. So immediately no. I was like, Chuck's not going to be a big ride high on this, right? Because Leatherface isn't like, he's not your cup of tea.
No, I actually never saw the original until I saw this. I went to theaters to go see the Jessica Biel one back in 2003.
Yep, for one reason only, I know.
For Jessica Biel.
Absolutely.
And that was it. That was my taste of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So when this came out, I went to the family and I was like, hey, let's, you know, my wife is a big component on scary movies. And my daughter, AG, is starting to get into them. And I was like, hey, let's, you know, watch this. But we need to watch the original first. And that was an experience.
The original is a classic.
It is. But very low budget. You know, it was not what I don't know. I was a little underwhelmed with it.
Well, think about it. It came out in, what, like 76?
I think longer.
Even earlier. Leatherface is one of the first slashers.
Yeah.
You know, so he's like OG slasher. And it was a very low budget movie. All you needed was a crappy house and a guy with a chainsaw, and you had a movie.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't awful. But so, you know, I was like, all right, we got it. And then we went from that one straight into this one, like, you know, within minutes. And
I mean, you didn't miss much in between there. You want to go on a ride, watch the one with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, I've never really cared to watch them. So
yeah, and I think Reese Witherspoon's in that one too.
Maybe
there's another big actress in there.
Yeah,
but you're not a fan of Leatherface.
Not especially not this one.
Yeah, well, yeah, this was a disaster from the beginning.
Well, the thing is,
I took notes on this movie, and I think it's the longest pair of notes that I've done on a movie in a very long time, longer than Batman.
Like, well, you're sitting in your house in your underwear watching it. You went to the theaters to go see Batman.
Well, yeah, I've seen Batman twice now. So, and I know somebody who's seen it, I think, probably like 5 times. But with this one, like, I think I watched this while I had COVID. No, I didn't watch this while I had COVID. I watched this on February 27th. That's what my notes say. My first thought for this was, I would have loved to see what Rob Zombie could have done with a direct sequel to this property. You know what I mean? Like, did you see the Rob Zombie Halloweens?
Yeah, I didn't hate it.
Right? So, like, he did them justice. That first one was good, right? The Devil's Rejects one. And, like, that, like, House of a Thousand Corpses, like, I know it's, like, gratuitous, right? But I feel like you need gratuitous for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right? So this is an iconic property, and they give it to a pretty much new director with David Blue Garcia, right? So you're already setting him up to fail by saying, all right, take this legendary character and make a soft sequel to the first one. So I would have liked them to get a more established director. And, like, I think Rob Zombie would have, with this storyline in general, would have crushed it and made it a little bit better, right? Did you ever see the Wrong Turn reboot?
No, but that's your movie.
You know how much I love Wrong Turn, right?
Yeah.
it initially reminded me of the remake from Wrong Turn, where this main group of characters aren't the type of people to venture into places like deep parts of Texas and West Virginia. They made the core group of characters unlikable and unrealistic. Like, I get that, like, they're hipsters and they're trying to revive this town, but they don't strike me as the ones that would go into, like, deep Republican, you know, they're still fighting the Civil War part of Texas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, going to that when you were there, I couldn't stand Melody.
Yeah, I mean, like, they made every character unlikable in this movie.
Super unlikable.
Every single person in this town was an asshole. Like, that went in there. Every main character of this group was an asshole. And it was because they couldn't keep their mouth shut. Like, I get it. It's a shitty town to go into. They're racist. They're homophobic. They're terrible people in that town. But you're going to the heart of Texas. What are you expecting? A parade? And you're going up against people who adamantly don't like you and don't want you to redo their town. And you're just instigating shit. So it made me very frustrated that they set this movie in rural Texas with a bunch of hipsters.
Yeah.
Because, like, what hipsters are going to rural Texas? You know what I mean?
Yeah, the story was not... I get the him hiding and stuff like that, but the whole, like you said, hipster vibe and all that, like, it really took away from the story.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't even hiding. He was just in a house that, yeah, you know, was becoming eminent domain, and his mother was getting kicked out of, or, you know, his mom was getting kicked out of. And then they kill the mom, which I was like, oh, Jesus, God, like, how stupid is this? And the girl says, I should be the one to ride in the ambulance. What?
Yeah, she was awful.
Yeah, like, it made no sense. Like, there's no cohesion to this movie. And the biggest gripe, here's my biggest gripe about this movie. What's the title of the movie?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He didn't use a chainsaw.
42 minutes into the movie, the chainsaw is out. It's an 84-minute movie, Chuck. We got through half the movie before the chainsaw came out, and he's killed 4 people by now. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had the ambulance scene where he's, like, dicing up EMTs. He kills that girl. Like, he's hanging out her face to dry. Like, it was shot, like, kind of, like, avant-garde, like, with the sun coming through the cornfield.
Yeah.
And then 42 minutes into the movie, the chainsaw comes out. Do you have a favorite part of this movie?
The ending.
The credits?
The credits. Yeah. The probably coolest scene, and I use coolest in very light terms, is the bus scene when he started killing everyone on the bus.
Yeah, which we saw in the trailer.
Yeah.
Like, all the good parts were in the trailer.
Yeah, when the Asian guy was like... I'll cancel you, bro.
Don't like, come near me. I'll cancel you, bro. I was so glad that he got fucking cut so hard.
And but like, that scene...
I loved it.
But when he was, like, just killing everyone and just the blood splat, like, that was the coolest scene.
Yeah, I mean, that's the massacre itself, right? Was the bus.
Yeah.
Right? I think my favorite part was when Leatherface was, like, fighting Melody. And he chucked the hammer right at her face. And she was done. And I was like, this is great. And, you know, again, like, the cast of characters was not the best, right? They're all... I don't know. I don't know if hipster horror is my vibe. Like, I don't think I can... Like, I don't really think I can do that. Like, I thought, like... You think that, like, Lila and Melody are going to get out, right? And then at the end, Leatherface killing Melody.
I think I was happy about it. That was another good part because I hated
it. It was a surprising moment. Right? Because, like, you think that Leatherface was dead, like, after all of the brutality that he went through, right? Like, yeah. they shot him. I think they shot him in the head, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Right? Like, point-blank range, they shot him, right? You gotta remember, dude's wearing, like, a helmet worth of people's faces. So, you're killing the dead people faces already. And when he got out and he killed her, I was like, well, you gotta remember, slashers never die. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the thing, like, with this movie, like, it's a popular thing now, is to take a movie and kind of soft reboot it and then forget everything else. Like, you know, Halloween did it a couple years ago. And the first Halloween was great. Halloween Kills with Big and Lil Jon was not so very good. Like, yeah. That's, like, the hot thing to do now, is just take these older properties and bring them to the new generation, because they have, Hollywood has nothing else to do. And sometimes it works. This did not at all.
No. And this gave me Halloween, well, Halloween Kills vibes, because here comes Sally, your hero, right? The tying point from the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right? Pretty sure she shows up 10 minutes left of the movie. She had 10 minutes of screen time, and she was only on screen to be killed.
Yeah. Like, they made a big deal. Like, they showed maybe a minute or two of her in the beginning when she found out what was going on. And, you know, she put her sheriff hat on, she got in a truck and drive. And then, like, you know, she must have lived on the other part of Texas, because it took hours for her to get there. And she gets there and then killed within 5 minutes.
She drove from Oklahoma and just get, you know, got diced up. Like, if I were to write this movie, I would have had that group of hipsters not buying an entire city, right? But buying the actual Texas Chainsaw Massacre house, right? And then building their little commune around that, or their city around that. Buying all the land. Nobody wanted that house because, you know, obviously it's tied to a bunch of horrific murders. So they buy that house and they're getting, like, they're rehabbing it. Like, it's a fixer-upper. Chip and Joanna Gaines are there, right? They're fixing up this Texas Chainsaw Mansion. And Leatherface is still living there. That's where he's hiding, right? So the basement's locked. They don't know how to get there. So they have to get to, like, the old pant cellar door where, like, it's outside and you got to walk down. And they walk down there and they see, like, a bunch of chainsaws hanging. A bunch of, like, old disintegrated faces and, like, blood and, like, jars of hands and eyes and stuff like that. And that's when the massacre starts. Like, this is a horror movie. You're supposed to have jump scares. I didn't find this movie scary one bit.
No.
I don't think that they led you to, like, there was no suspenseful moments. The score sucked. This was garbage. Like, this is a terrible movie in my opinion.
Yeah. One of the worst I've seen in a while.
Yeah, and, like, I'm glad it went to Netflix. Because had this gone to theaters, this might have been, like, one of the biggest busts of the pandemic. Would have made, like, $21.
The only reason I saw it is because it was on Netflix.
Yeah, like, if this was in the movie and I saw, you know, we saw the trailer and I texted you and I was like, I have zero interest to seeing this movie. Had it gone to theaters, I would never, ever have seen this movie. Netflix, I was bored on a Saturday, I watched it. It was stupid. And the biggest gripe I have, one of the biggest gripes, is that they made Leatherface more man than monster. He had way more emotions and intellect in this movie than he did in the original. Like, I get it. It's been 50 years, right? But what's Leatherface been doing? Reading Hooked on Phonics and, like, growing a conscience as he's hiding in mom's house? Like, they made Leatherface, like, an emotional spree killer. Like, Leatherface is a kill-all, take-all, wear their faces. Like, I don't remember him taking anybody's face off in this movie, right?
Well, no, he did. That's how he was wearing them in the beginning.
Well, yeah, he took that girl's face off. The girl got into the ambulance. What the hell was her name? Ruth, who didn't look like a Ruth at all. She got on the ambulance, and he wore Ruth's face and, like, the EMT's face. But, like, they kind of made it seem like this is going to get a sequel. And, like, no thank you. No. Like, I'd be cool with, like, a series of about Leatherface killing people, but not by this director and not in this concept. Like, I'd like a flashback right after 1970, whatever, when the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre came out. I'd honestly like that to be the series, you know, where the family's still alive, they're going out there, and Leatherface is hunting people in, like, an old 70s era noir, not noir, like, horror movie. It was 1974 when this came out, and they made it, like, you know, Leatherface knows how to work TikTok. This movie, it made no sense, dude. It was so bad. It was just, it was really, really bad. So, this is going to be a short episode, but this is kind of like where I stand with this movie in general. He killed 21 people in this movie.
Okay.
Which I would consider a massacre, right?
Yeah.
That would account a massacre. I can honestly say that I am over this franchise. I've seen all 9 movies, right? And only 2 have been good. The original and 2003, the reboot. And honestly, I prayed to the movie gods that they don't ever make another shitty Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie.
They will in 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, these reboot sequels need to have better teams behind them and better casting. Like, you're taking, again, an iconic property like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and you're putting newcomers on the screen who this may be their first acting job, right?
Yeah, because I didn't recognize anybody.
No, and like, if you think about it from this perspective, right, like, I'm going to draw a weird parallel. You have Euphoria on HBO Max, right? Yeah. Where a lot of those actors and actresses are brand new to the game. Like, this is their first work. And, like, that show is believable, right? They do very good in that show. I don't know if you've ever watched it, but the acting is good.
No, my wife does.
You know, do they overdo it with the drugs and the sex? Absolutely. But with this one, they got, like, every waitress and waiter in Los Angeles that wanted to be in a horror movie and just said, here you go. They could have just got, like, 15 horror TikTokers to be in this movie, and they probably would have done better. You know? And I think that there is, like, a really simple template that they use, and it becomes cliched. The cast are unlikable, and they barely tie into the original. Additionally, I think, again, like, something that you and I have spoken about, a lot of these movies suffer from trailer treatment. Do you think that this was one of the movies that suffered from trailer treatment?
Oh, yeah. You know, all the good parts were, I mean, there wasn't really any, but all the somewhat decent parts were in the trailer. And, I mean, obviously there was a reason behind it, because they realized they had a piece of shit on their hands and they were trying to get people to watch it. Like, oh, look at this bus scene. But,
yeah, I mean, at this point, like, Warner Brothers, right, they pulled back all of their movies that were on our top 10 list. And the rumor is it was quality over quantity, right? So Batman comes out and they crush it, and they look at the movies that are coming out of the pipeline after that, and maybe they're not that good, right? So they went back to retool a little bit. And maybe Shazam was good, and they're putting that out. That's the reason why it's getting put out earlier. I think what they need to do with this is they need to go quality over quantity. Netflix does not need every single property, and if they do get every single property like this, they don't need to rush it. You know what I mean? I know a lot of people and a lot of, like, production companies are trying to take advantage of people still working from home and people having a little more time on their hands because they're afraid to go out. People who had foot surgery and they can't go out, they're trying to capitalize on that niche audience. But they really, like, it's crazy for me to believe that this movie passed a production company's, like, yeah, this is going to be a hit.
Well, the problem is with Netflix is, you know, they were one of the first streamers.
Yeah.
And they were putting out these decent content, but now everyone has one. So, you know, they don't have the Disney properties. They don't have the WB properties anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, I know they signed an exclusive deal with Sony to have their stuff from theaters come in. But, like, besides that, like, they're trying to get these properties, and this is why they're buying Masters of the Universe. This is why they're buying Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They're buying these older properties and so, like, oh, we can start rebooting these, or we're going to redo these, and, you know, people are going to love it.
Yeah, but they're buying them to ruin them.
And they are. And they're not coming up with, like, yes, you know, are they getting gold with, like, The Witcher? Yes, they are. Yeah. Original properties like Adam Project that we reviewed last week. Great movie.
Yep.
But it's few and far between that they're getting these good stuff. And then we're getting Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We're getting the October Faction. You know, we're getting Jupiter's Legacy. Like, they're trying to go too big, and they're not putting out the quality stuff that they need
it's,
to be.
Yeah, it's quantity over quality. That's totally the problem. Like, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre should be a movie that you don't miss on. Like, it's a very easy concept. You have a guy with a chainsaw that kills people.
And that's horror movies are very cheap to produce. And, you know, you don't need special effects. You know, you can do a lot of practical stuff. You can, you know, but if you need a good story, and you don't need a big cast. Like, yes, maybe get one recognizable person or stuff like that. But, like, horror movies, if the story suffers, you're not going to win. You're just not. Yeah,
I mean, you're right. And, I mean, I've seen better sci-fi originals than this movie.
Yes. Yes.
Like, Sharknado was better than this movie. Terracuda versus Piranaconda is better than this movie. Like, there are a bunch of older actors who have, you know, they've been in the game for a while who could use work, and you could probably have done better with this. But I'm done ragging on this movie until we do the geek grader. What's your geek grader on this?
1.8.
Wow. Well, that's a... it's much lower than mine. I gave it a little bit of credence. I gave it a 3.2.
It only got that high because of the bus scene.
Okay. Yeah, I gave it a 3.2, and I don't know why, honestly. I think it was just like I was in the zone. I was like, let me be nice, because maybe we'll get the director on. I don't care at this point. I'm going to drop it down. I'm going to go 2.1. I'm going to drop it down a full point, because I hate this movie. So, honestly, probably like if we average it out, it's a 1.9. It's a rough one.
Yeah, so it was a really rough movie. And, it, you know, I saw it, 2 days after my surgery? So I really couldn't run around, you know, get away from this. But
yeah, you were hoping Leatherface came in there and just cut you up at that point.
Yeah, I wish I was on pain meds to make me forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, it might have been more enjoyable if you were on pain meds. Yeah. I have two questions, and then we're going to get out of here. Should they stop with the soft sequels set decades apart?
You know what? Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. First Halloween, I thought was really good. Well, not the first, but the one that came out 2017, I thought that was great. I thought they did an amazing job. Halloween Kills, not so much.
Ghostbusters Afterlife, good movie.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said Ghostbusters Afterlife, good movie.
Yeah, excellent movie. And even like, even though it's not a really... it kind of, like, was the new Scream.
Oh, no. No, that was trash.
Way better than this.
Well, I mean, this was a piece of dog shit. Like, anything's better than this. But, like, Scream, this isn't the Scream podcast, but, like, no Scream movies have been, like, great. You know what I mean? They've been what they've been. They've been solid slasher films. This one was so predictable. I picked the killers out within the first 10 minutes of the movie. 10 minutes of the movie.
But it was...
I was like, I know who the killers are.
It was more enjoyable.
I don't know, man. I fell asleep. I didn't fall asleep during Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I was so disinterested in the Scream movie. And it had such a better cast. Jack Quaid was in it. Nev Campbell's back. Courtney Cox. David Arquette. I will say about the Scream movie, because I know one of my friends was really looking forward to the Scream movie, and I won't mention his name just in case he's embarrassed of it. It was much more watchable than the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I will agree with you on that point. There were better scenes, but I think, again, it was way too predictable. And I think it just followed the Scream template. I mean, if that was the assignment, they understood it, right? They got the idea that you have X, Y, and Z. You have to do A, B, and C to finish X, Y, and Z, and they did it. But in the terms of Scream, like, I don't know if this definitely doesn't hold a candle to, I'd say, the first two. Mainly because Sarah Michelle Gellar was in one of them.
Yeah, I mean, three was awful. Four was... I don't know. I would put the new Scream behind Scream 1.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. When I can pick the killer out as soon as they jump on the screen, I'm kind of out of the movie.
I mean, they're all kind of predictable, but I think this one was, I don't know, I enjoyed it better.
Were you surprised when they revealed the killers? Like, I don't want to spoil it for people who didn't see it, but
no.
Were you surprised?
No, not at all.
See, like, in those type of movies, like, that should be the big payoff when the killer's revealed. Like, it's kind of like Knives Out for a second, right? When we figured out who the killer was or who the bad guy was, it was like, oh, like the whole movie, you're like trying to guess it. Like, you have your thoughts, but then they send you one way and you're like, oh, maybe it's not that way. This movie, they gave you a template to watching horror movies. It was like an inside commentary to us watching a horror movie.
And that's why I kind of like those movies, because they kind of make fun of themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a meta movie. I think Scary Movie was better than this one.
Maybe, I don't know.
That Scary Movie was great. I mean, that's a great comedy movie. I don't know if great's the right word, but it was okay. I don't know. Let's get out of here with that. So, in your terms, it depends on the franchise, then depends on
the team behind
created, it. The team behind it and the actors, right, to make a soft sequel decades apart.
Yeah, like, you know, it depends what it is. Like, I don't want a soft sequel of Corgi Romano.
I do. Night at the Roxbury? Yes, I want both of those sequels right now.
But it just, like...
I agree with you. They can work. They can certainly work. Which brings me to my next question and my final question. And it's a slasher question. Who would you rather them do a soft sequel to next? Jason, Freddy Krueger, or Pinhead?
I want to get shit for this. I've never seen Hellraiser.
Yeah, you've admitted it on the podcast before. It's okay. We're not a horror podcast.
Probably Jason. I always kind of like him more.
I think Jason's the more realistic one because we haven't seen him in a while. They rebooted Freddy with Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah.
I'd honestly really like to see a Freddy Krueger series. Kind of like what USA did and Sci-Fi did with Chucky.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of an underrated series out there. I'd like to see them do a Freddy Krueger series on, like, I don't know who owns the property, but like HBO Max or like Shudder, where like Shudder needs to do, I mean, they've got good content out there with like Creepshow. They need to get the properties of like Freddy or Jason or Hellraiser and like let Shudder and Blumhouse like put it together and really master horror. I'm going to go Jason first, then I'd go Pinhead, and then I'd go Freddy, just because we haven't seen Pinhead good since the late 80s, early 90s.
I think they just made a reboot of that, like a direct-to-streaming, like,
video on demand. There's been a lot of controversy with, like, trying to get the rights back to the creator of Hellraiser, so maybe... All right, I'll go Jason, Freddy, Pinhead, because I think that's the way that I rank them. I'd like to see Jason first, and a soft sequel. Like, make it a soft sequel. I'd be fine with that, because, you know, I feel like that's where the hipsters belong, at, like, an alternative, like, I don't know, like, send your bad kids away to camp, like a behavioral camp, and that's where Jason is. You know what I mean? He's killing bad kids that you don't like, and then you root for the villain. I'd be here for that. All right. But let's get out of here, dude, because this was a fun one. I love when we can brag on movies.
Next we haven't week, done a bad one in a while.
But that's it, dude. We're going to get out of here. Next, follow us on social media, Active Geek Podcast. Follow Chuck, Active Geek, or Chuck underscore the Active Geek. Galaxy Wars will be back either this week or next week, depending on scheduling. Follow my show, Gym Class. I still have a trailer out. Would love for you to listen to it. It's available on Spotify. It's a minute and like 17 seconds. So give it a listen and share it with your friends, because I got some really good episodes cooking with that. And yeah, man, that's it. We're going to get out of here and wash the filth of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre off our faces. So for the Active Geek Podcast, I am Jim.
I am Chuck.
And we are out.